In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, all of us want to be happy. All of us want to have peace. There's only one way to be peaceful. And that is, of course, we know as Christians, to follow the way of Christ. That's the only path. The only way to be peaceful is to serve as the Lord served. The Lord said the two greatest commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself. Turns out that he spoke more about loving our neighbor than he did about loving God. Because we learn to love God through loving our neighbor. St. John tells us that how can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we don't love our brother whom we have seen? So loving our brother, including the brother that's ugly, the brother that we don't like, the brother that is unfair, the brother that does things to us that we don't like, that brother we must love if we are to love God. In fact, the apostle speaks about this today. He says that we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now this word "ought" here is really, unfortunately, translated. It really has to do with obligation. Obligation because of what God has done for us. It is the same word that is used where the Lord teaches us to pray and says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive those who owe us something as we forgive us who owe God something for our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, who owe us something." It's the same word. We are obligated as Christians to serve others. And this is the only path of peace. If there's something wrong in your life, if you're unhappy about something, depressed about something, something's not going the right way, some relationship is awry, or you don't have, you're not happy about your life situation, your work, or your family, or whatever, it is always because of you. Always. It's always because there's something in you that is self-centered. This is something that we have to admit to ourselves. And the only way we grow to have peace is to not be self-centered. To serve others. We who are strong are to serve the needs of the weak. We are obligated. The apostle tells us two verses later, why we must do it. Because Christ pleased not himself. We are to emulate Christ. And our Lord served the needs of the weak. Of course, in his case, everyone was weaker than him. And he served everyone, without exception, even those that would eventually crucify him. Also, at the very end of this reading, it says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Everything you do for another person should be because of what Christ has done for you. That should resonate in you. When you do a kindness to another person, it should be because of your gratitude for the kindness that God has given to you. If we operate by this principle, there would be no unhappiness in our life. Oh, there would be hardship, there would be difficulty, there would be pain. But there would not be unhappiness. Because we would be doing the will of God. And we would have a sure and certain hope within us that wouldn't be obliterated by our self-centeredness. If you're honest with yourself, you'll see that much in your life is self-centered. And I can say this with authority, even though I don't know all of you extremely well. But I know humanity pretty well, because I am one. And I know that human beings are self-centered. And it keeps us from God. That is why the Lord says so often things about our neighbor. And that is why the only path to peace is what the apostle is telling us here. We who are strong are to serve the needs of the weak. And let's not think that this means, oh, the strong ones. Maybe that's the bishops and the priests, the monks who pray all night, and people who fast, and I don't fast very well, so I must not be one of the strong ones. Or those who pray their morning and evening prayers, and I skip a lot of times, and all this other stuff. No, that's just sophistry. Because the apostle tells us immediately, let every one of us please his neighbor for good to edification. So there is something strong in you that the Lord wants you to give to the weak. I don't know what it is. You probably don't know what it is. But you are obligated to give it. That's the thing about strength, about spiritual strength. The more you give it, the more you gain it. Now in the world, right, you give money away, you don't have that money anymore. But in the spiritual life, you give of yourself, you have more. Now, what does it mean to please our neighbor for his good to his edification? It doesn't mean that we give them anything they want. It doesn't mean that you give a bottle to an alcoholic. It doesn't mean that you give outlandish toys to a child. It means that what you do is always for the spiritual edification of the person you do it for. No matter what it is, no matter what act you do, if it is not for their edification, it is wrong. It's sin. You can give a cup of water to someone who is thirsty and it can be for their edification. Because if you do it with the love of Christ in your heart and with prayer on your lips or in your heart, then it is for their edification. If we try to edify one another, there wouldn't be the kinds of things we get into, the kinds of messes we get into, the arguments we have with one another, and the bitterness and the judging and all that other stuff. If you were always thinking, I am commanded by my Lord to serve the needs of the weak, and lest I should think I'm weak and I should be the one that served, I must remember also what the apostle tells me. Everyone, without exception, is to please his neighbor for their edification. These are commands that are given to us, brothers and sisters, because they're the only way of peace. You'll find, if there is something in your life that's truly troubling you, serve someone. Humble yourself. Be kind to someone. Especially the person that won't be kind back to you. Especially to the one that you have troubles with. Or that wouldn't thank you. And God will visit His grace upon you. And you will grow to have peace in your heart. Now the other way, when we do good unto those who we think will do good unto us, it's a perversion of what the gospel tells us. We will not gain from that action. In fact, we will be debilitated from that action. Tit for tat actually weakens the soul. But doing good to those who are weaker than us. And sometimes, you know, you do good even to those who most of the time are stronger than you, but perhaps they have a weak moment. And always for their edification in Christ. This will build you up. It'll build them up, and it'll build you up. And you will grow to have peace. Now, after the apostle tells us that we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, remember, we are obligated, and every one of us is obligated. And then he tells us of Christ's example, that he pleased not himself, but he bore the reproach of them that reproached, of all the reproaches that would fall on us fell on him. Then he tells us that, like, he sort of gives us a blessing. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded to one another according to Christ Jesus. Now you know how I've told you, when you read the scriptures, read them personally. Apply them to you, to your life. Again, not so that you know what car to buy or whether you should go to school or how you should arrange your schedule next month. But how you should live. And when I read this, it jumps off the page that I should read it another way. I should say, whereas the apostle says, may the God of patience grant you to be like-minded, according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. That means, if I am not like-minded, I cannot glorify God. Whereas the positive is true, the negative is true also. If we are not like-minded towards one another, we cannot glorify God. St. John Chrysostom comments on this passage, and he speaks about what this like-mindedness is. Sometimes people, they get full of themselves and very proud, and they think, it's those who are of the same faith as me. Those who are Christians. And more so, those who have found the true church. This is not what it means. It means anyone who is of the same nature as you. Everyone's the same nature as you. Everyone, when their cup bleeds, and when they're slandered, there's a piece in them that gets angry, just like you. Everyone is inclined to laziness, and inclined to thoughts of pride, just like you. Everyone doesn't pray enough, just like you. Whether they're Orthodox or not Orthodox. Everyone's the same. We all need God. And we all love God just a little. Not enough. So if you are like-minded, it means that you understand that your human nature is the same as everyone else's. And that your need for God is as much as the need of anyone else's, including people that you are judging, perhaps correctly. It's not wrong to see the truth about things. Maybe are not following God or are far from God. They need God just as much as you. This is what that like-mindedness means. It means being empathetic. It means identifying with all of humanity. Our Lord identified with all of humanity and saved it. So we must be like that. That means there is nobody that's superfluous. Nobody that's unimportant. Nobody that you are not called to help. Basically, if you encounter a person in your life, you are obligated to try, in some way, to edify them for their good, for their sanctification. No matter what situation in life they're in, you are obligated. And if you're not thinking that way, to the extent that you don't think that way, you won't be a happy person. The people who serve and have no rest, they're not the unhappy ones. The people who expect to be served and have nothing but rest, those are the unhappy ones. Now, we're in the middle somewhere for the most part. We're not completely self-centered, but we certainly don't have this like-mindedness that the apostle speaks of. This must be cultivated through efforts, daily efforts. Now, many of you are in families with children, with siblings. That's the perfect place to cultivate being kind to one another. Because it's brothers and sisters we know get in their scrapes. But if you look to what your brother or sister needs, or what your wife needs, or your husband needs, or your father or your child needs, and not to your own needs, not only will that person be edified and be helped in some way, perhaps a way that's invisible to you that you can't even see, but you will be edified. There'll be change coming over you. You'll be peaceful. I'm always struck by the first thing that our Lord said to the disciples when He saw them in the upper room on the day of His resurrection. It was, "Peace be to you." This peace is only accomplished through being peaceful. And that is by being like-minded, knowing that all need God, and knowing that if God has saved us, that we should do everything in our power to love His creation. That's how we gain peace. So may God help you to do this. Remember, when it says the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, this is not referring just to a few people. Just to people that we consider for some reason to be holier than us. It refers to everyone. And this is the only path to happiness. May God help you. Amen.